My guest today is Jeff Knuckles. Jeff, how are you?
Doing really well. Thanks.
What do you do?
Well, now I'm the cloud technology director at Aditi. So it used to be, you're familiar with the North Central region. They were formerly known as Cumulux before Cumulux got acquired by Aditi about a year ago.
And you're focused on Azure mostly, cloud in general, Azure Pacific?
Yes, actually. So we kind of pride ourselves on being an all-up cloud services provider in that we provide cloud consulting services. But yeah, I think that it started with Amazon EC2, and I think pretty much now we're pretty full bore on Azure.
You mentioned EC2, which is Amazon's infrastructure as a service offering. They've had that for years, and they've really owned that space for a long time. Microsoft just released in beta their own infrastructure as a service offering. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, with Amazon, you know, they kind of, you know, hedged the bets on going with infrastructure as a service out of the gate, kind of set the business trends for how that might be operational in the real world. Yeah, and Microsoft, had taken a different approach using platform as a service, kind of spearheading that, which made a lot of sense if you think about their history. And then, you know, piggybacking on that, they came out with infrastructure as a service, basically virtual machines in the cloud, along with virtual networking and a whole bunch of other stuff that just was recently announced. So they've kind of got the best of both worlds. I think we've, at Aditi, we're certainly holding pretty strong that's the direction that people want to go, to have the best of both worlds with both infrastructure as a service as well as platform as a service. We're liking what we see.
Describe me the difference between platform as a service and infrastructure as a service for those of us that don't understand that.
Yeah, the National Institute of Standards and Technology will describe it maybe a little differently, but I'll tell you that if you're a developer, you'll appreciate platform as a service in that that's a place where you can simply deploy your applications, right? And everything else underneath that is considered a down-level dependency. So there's layers of abstraction there that simplify you to deploy an application without having to worry about the underlying operating system, the underlying database, and having to patch it, having to manage it. So you're really not worried about the virtual machines, right? You only worry about what drives business value for you, which is your data and your applications. Now with infrastructure as a service, it's pretty typical of what we've been doing in-house for many years, particularly in virtualization space. So you have to build your virtual machines, install your operating systems, and you have to continue to patch and manage those ongoing. So it's really no different with infrastructure as a service, except that now you're doing it in someone else's data center, in this case Microsoft's on Azure.
Okay, and with that, you're responsible for all of the operating systems and all the patches and all the software that's installed on there, which is a lot more work but a lot more flexibility.
It sure does. It provides a lot more flexibility. I mean, I want both. There's no silver bullet when it comes to cloud to resolving all the problems. So, you're going to have, as an enterprise, as an ISV, as whomever, even a small mom-and-pop shop or startup, you're going to have some level of investment in IT on-premise, and then you're going to look to graduate to the cloud when and where it makes sense. So, you're going to want to start by looking at perhaps infrastructure as a service and maybe even platform as a service. In fact, if I was starting, I would try to figure out how much can I, first of all, consume as software as a service, like commodity type stuff like email and that type of stuff.
All right, let's quickly define this. A new one, software as a service.
On top of that, so we've got, we talked about platform as a service, PaaS. We talked about infrastructure as a service, which you'll hear often referred to as either IaaS or IaaS, and now software as a service, right? So SaaS. So yeah, you've got to kind of the whole board of things there in the cloud, in the public cloud arena.
Right, so software as a service actually provides everything, even the user interface and the whole application is all written for you, like Gmail or Salesforce.com.
Yeah, that's right. So if you got software as a service, you consume it, you buy it, you manage nothing. You just consume the software as a service at some cost and sometimes free depending on how you use it. And then you've got platform as a service, basically where you build on it. So effectively you build your applications and deploy it to it. You just build on it. And then you've got infrastructure as a service, which you migrate to. It's a migration strategy. So these are all three onboarding opportunities for you to take advantage of cloud services, which really is about agility and reducing costs at the end of the day. And that's really what more people are looking to do, to be more flexible and to be able to drive down costs inside their organizations.
Well, let's dive a little bit deeper into the IaaS offering, so that Microsoft just released into beta, and hopefully in the next few months it'll actually be a real product, a fully supported product. What are those, and how do they differ from EC2?
Well, and they're changing quickly. I mean, we're already starting to see updates. I mean, one day I was working within infrastructure as a service on Azure, and they had so many pre-built virtual machines available for you. Within hours, all of a sudden, I loaded up the platform, or the portal rather, and there you go, there's more. So it's changing very rapidly. The maturity rate for cloud is extraordinary. Yeah. So, but in terms of EC2 is very much about, you know, you have your AMIs, which is these Amazon machine images, basically, yeah, that are available for you to be able to immediately deploy virtual machines that have, you know, canned operating systems or configurations. Microsoft has very similar type scenarios with SQL Server and Active Directory, SharePoint. To give you an example, though, in Microsoft's approach and strategy, in fact, Linux as well, so let's not count that out. Those of you who may think that, you know, Microsoft is only supporting Microsoft-based products on the cloud would be really missing the whole point. They're really going
so, to so I could strategy. I could create a Linux image and deploy that out to the cloud on Microsoft Azure virtual machine.
Yeah, and in fact, they supported Linux distributed image on Azure. In fact, that you just go out and select the image that's already been pre-canned and packaged for you, and roll that out through the portal interface, or use PowerShell scripts and whatever it is that you would like to do to automate that. But yeah, fully supported. In fact, you know, when you think about the broad spectrum of products that could be supported on a virtual machine, it's largely endless. Microsoft provides support for very specific ones. Very specific Linux distributions, SQL Server, Active Directory, as I mentioned, with Windows Server and that and the like. So, yeah.
What's some of the use cases for using these services?
Well, you know, if you think about platform as a service and what maybe the limitations are, I mean, it's really for building, as I suggested earlier, products or software to run on it. If you start to get into third-party large applications that you commercially off-the-shelf software that you might have to purchase, those are probably better suited for infrastructure as a service, or scenarios in which it's just, I want to graduate to the cloud in a phased iterative approach, or in cloud on my terms, meaning that I would like to be able to say, I want to deploy the application, but I really don't want to re-architect the database today to provide for this scale-out architecture. Okay, I will take SQL Server running in infrastructure as a service on Azure, right, and then I'll be able to leverage maybe the when you call it a platform as a service offerings in Azure for the front end, for the web application. So okay, you can have a hybrid approach in that sense.
Using that migration is a big deal. Mm-hmm. People still haven't, at least my experience is, people haven't totally warmed up to the idea of the cloud. They know it's important, they know it's going to be important, but they're a little bit afraid.
It's all about, yeah, absolutely. It's all about mitigating fear and friction to adopting the cloud. And everybody's fronted with that scenario. If you're a CIO or a CTO and you're largely responsible for, you know, for driving down costs and agility and being able to, again, really provide business value. That's a thing. I think a lot, all too often, you know, IT has been seen as kind of a cost center for most organizations, CFOs alike. But it can now become a cloud enabler if you're an IT manager or something like that, or a CTO or responsible for that, for picking the right scenarios for moving to the cloud. And more importantly, being able to do so in a phased iterative approach that mitigates the risks of moving to the cloud as well. Again, it's not a silver bullet, but if I can actually move just my data or maybe just parts of my applications, some that maybe has less sensitive scenarios or tier 2, tier 3 apps, I have now a larger option and array of options in the cloud to take advantage of. Both the hybrid nature of Azure, which I think is fantastic, virtual networking, which was recently announced, to move infrastructure as a service that's running in the cloud, that's communicating with servers on premise, in fact, domain join those virtual machines such that they can be a part of my existing network on premise. It's a great way to start introducing the cloud, getting your foot in the door, and then as you get a little bit more mature about that, and or working with a consulting practice or something like that, like a DD or what have you, to be able to take some of those
or Sagetti
for that matter, right? Of course, David, I don't want to forget that, and take some of those things and move them into platform as a service, you know, and really start to get the benefits and the value, because there's a lot of cost benefits associated with moving that direction.
Excellent. Are you, you have an online presence?
I'm sorry, yes. My online presence?
Yeah.
Well, in terms of LinkedIn or...
Yeah, how can people find out more about Jeff Knuckles?
Yeah, I mean, you can find me at, I have a Twitter account out there. You can just kind of search for Jeff Knuckles. I think I'm the only one out there. My last name is spelled N-U-C-K Knolls. And it's really important that I pronounce it because it is pronounced Knuckles, but if you spell it like you do traditionally with Knuckles, you'll never find me.
You sound like a gangster. It's a gangster's name.
I'm a gangster. That's right. That's right. Knuckles out of Detroit, not out of New York, but you know, hey, it all works the same, right?
Jeff, thanks so much.
Thanks, Dave. So the reason that most of my friends say, hey, Jeff, why are you so into the cloud? Well, I've always got my head in the cloud and my feet on the ground, but I don't mind so much because I'm bald and my hair never gets messed up. So the cloud is a perfect place for me to keep my head. So, thanks. Technology and friends is where it's at.